dear friends of our crucified Savior, what is truth? It's a question that's asked by every generation. And of course, today it's also a Good Friday question. When during his trial 2,000 years ago, Jesus explained to Pontius Pilate that his kingdom was from another place, and that he came into the world to testify to the truth, Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Of course, it's a most important question today for us as well. During our midweek Lenten services these past number of weeks, we focused on the theme because Jesus knew he was going to die. His death is why we gather here today. Jesus did know he was going to die. And frankly, so do we. So if there was ever information that we wanted to know, if there is ever an answer to a question that we would need to know, would be the answer to this question. What is truth? Our text today assures us that Jesus left us the perfect answer in a legacy of truth. Listen to the words of Jesus from John chapter 16, words that he spoke to his disciples just before his arrest. We read selected verses. Jesus said, Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. He continued, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. In a little while, you'll see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Jesus, during his 3 years of public ministry, repeatedly told his disciples that he was going to die, that he would rise again, and that he would then leave them. And repeatedly, the disciples didn't understand. You may recall, for example, among many examples, the time when Jesus very clearly spoke to his disciples and said that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Do you recall Peter's response to Jesus? He took him aside and rebuked him. To be sure, the disciples weren't understanding this. It wasn't clear. What is Jesus doing? Jesus plainly told them what was going to happen. And time again, they didn't get it. This most important truth, that Jesus came into the world to take away the sins of the world, this truth of the cross, was being missed. They didn't understand. Got to the point where Jesus' disciples didn't even want to ask him about it anymore. Jesus talk about being betrayed, about being handed over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. Jesus talk about the suffering he was going to endure, being condemned to death, being flogged, being spit upon. Luke tells us the disciples didn't understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. They didn't comprehend the legacy that Jesus was leaving them in the cross. Jesus told the disciples, because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Oh, to be sure, the disciples weren't ready for the details that were about to be revealed to them right to their eyes, right before their eyes. They didn't grasp this truth of the cross. Follow them. Just watch the disciples as Jesus is arrested, as he's crucified, as he's buried. And what do you see? You see disciples who are fleeing with fright, who deny in desperation. You see disciples who abandon hope, who agonize over their future, who hide in fear. Well, Jesus instructed his disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. We could say that for Jesus' disciples, what Jesus came to accomplish was really but an emerging truth at this point. But the Holy Spirit would, in his time, guide them. He would guide them and lead them to more fully understand God's plan for them in the cross. But for now, that truth that they didn't get, that truth that was causing them grief, was that Jesus was, well, as we read in Philippians, Jesus was becoming nothing. What caused those disciples agony and grief is that Jesus was humbling himself as a servant, and most of all, that he was becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. The disciples were pressed down by these things, by these events. But the truth is, it was Jesus who was crushed. Isaiah tells us that he was pierced. He was crushed for our iniquities. So what about understanding this legacy of the cross? What about understanding Jesus' truth today? Maybe we could think of it this way. With a difficult math problem in school, with a perplexing challenge at work, we might start to ask ourselves, what is this? I don't get it. I can't understand this at all. It doesn't make any sense. And then perhaps along comes a teacher, a parent, a friend, a classmate, and they start to guide. And they lead, and they open up that mystery, that challenge to you. And the light goes on. Now we get it. Well, this really happens spiritually too. Who is God? Where did he come from? How did he get here? Does he really know you and me, let alone love us? What is this thing called faith? These and many other questions may seem unanswerable. To think that a person who lived 2,000 years ago, who was arrested, tried, thrown into prison, killed, buried like a common criminal, he's the Savior of all people? How could that be? God's legacy of truth is a cross, an instrument of death? How is that possible? In pre-Holy Spirit-touched lives, it doesn't make sense. And people will look for truth, but they're going to look in places like knowledge, wisdom of the world. Maybe deep within myself I can find some truth. Or maybe you just simply abandon the hope of ever finding truth because about the time you think you find it, you learn that it isn't true, that it's changed. So elusive. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that those without the Spirit do not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to them. They cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. But Jesus assures us that when the Spirit of truth comes, He guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit teaches us the unchanging truth of God's love and His Word. He teaches us the truth of this very day, the Good Friday truth of Jesus' cross. Yes, the Holy Spirit shows us the very heart, the tender heart of God in Jesus. Jesus, who was victorious even in death. A victory for our forgiveness. The Holy Spirit causes the light to go on so that we can declare, I know, I believe, I trust, in fact, I stake my entire life on the fact that heaven is my home because of this Good Friday truth that Jesus is my Savior. Thank God. Thank God every day for the Holy Spirit's work in planting His legacy of truth and love in your heart. And pray God that it may be planted in the hearts of many others as well. Who do you know that isn't currently sharing in this blessed legacy? Remember, a legacy is something that you receive from someone who's died. God's legacy for us is uniquely glorious because it's a legacy that we receive from Him who not only died, but who, of course, rose from the dead. In Jesus and God's legacy to us, the Apostle John tells us that we see the glory of the one and only Son, full of grace and truth. The importance of this legacy, the importance of the Holy Spirit's work with that legacy, can't be overstated. It's the Holy Spirit who calls us to faith in this truth. It's the Holy Spirit who keeps us in that faith. If someone leaves us a legacy, we normally appreciate it, but we'll never have the chance to connect with that person, would we? Not so with God's legacy. He who left it for us allows us. No, more than that. He who left us this legacy earnestly desires for us to remain connected with Him. And we do that through that thing which we call the means of grace. When that cover isn't there, you see it depicted on our altar. Symbolically. The Holy Spirit reveals God's truth to us. The Holy Spirit reveals His grace and love to us through His Word. And the Holy Spirit gives us His love in the sacraments. Now this afternoon, receive God's grace as you eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of all of your sins. As you approach the altar this afternoon, contemplate the legacy of the cross. Remember that Christ gave His body and blood for you to save you from Satan's grip and to secure your salvation. That dark day 2,000 years ago on that hill outside of Jerusalem that we call Golgotha, the place of the skull, that place where Jesus hung and His blood poured from His veins, that was God's love for you. The punishment that brought you peace was upon Him, and by His wounds you are healed. One day we're all going to face God, every one of us. And we're going to be able to face Him with confidence because we know that Jesus washed us clean with His bloody wounds. We know that Jesus endured the punishment that we deserved in hell. And we know that Jesus conquered death itself. That's peace. He's done that for you and me. Dear friends, that's the legacy of truth that God has left us. Jesus' disciples didn't understand him when he said, "In a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." But soon they would watch Jesus' betrayal, his arrest, his crucifixion. And then imagine, at that point, they didn't think that they would ever see Jesus again. Imagine that kind of desperation. They didn't grasp that after a little while, on the third day, he would rise from the dead. But at the right time, the Holy Spirit revealed those things to them. Not just with these eyes, but most importantly, with the eyes of faith. The disciples were enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And in the days that the Lord gave them, in those years that they had left, they couldn't help but share the things that they had heard and seen. And you know, it's true. Nearly all of them died a martyr's death. But they did that clinging to Jesus by faith. And the result of having that legacy of truth was that they experienced a glorious reunion with their Savior. What a blessing today, right now, for you and me to know this wonderful legacy. We're blessed to see this whole plan of God laid out for us. Seeing that promise thousands of years before Jesus ever came to earth. And then watching that promise fulfilled in those gory yet glorious details of Jesus' death and his resurrection. Those pieces fit together perfectly in Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, the only Savior." That's God's legacy of truth. The legacy he has left you and me. That's a legacy to cherish. Look upon the cross. Soak in God's legacy. Soak in his great love for you. The depth that he went to for you. If this legacy wasn't so important, if the Holy Spirit wasn't working in our hearts, wouldn't we find it easier to be like Peter in the courtyard and deny the truth and just pretend we didn't know Jesus sometimes? If we didn't realize the seriousness and the blessing of this legacy, wouldn't we conclude that being popular with the world trumps faithfulness to Jesus? If we didn't understand and were blessed with this wonderful legacy and know how important it was, wouldn't human contrived ideas like relative truth or no absolute truth or you're the master of your fate, wouldn't those be a little more appealing to us? If this legacy of truth wasn't so precious, imagine how easy it would be for parents to spend more time, more energy, and more money helping their children to meet their earthly goals rather than making most important teaching our children about the truth of God's Word and leading them closer to their Savior Jesus. If this legacy of truth wasn't so special and so real and so meaningful, don't you think a lot of us would maybe spend more time making sure that our retirement portfolio was in order than ordering our lives for our eternal retirement? Jesus' legacy of truth is our great treasure. And remember, even when we fall and we fail, like Peter, we know Jesus' forgiveness. And that's a legacy to share. You know what's true? People may not read the Bible, but they read you. Dear Christian, glorify God. Glorify Him with your actions and with your words. Reflect this Good Friday love in your life. And then as God opens doors for you to share this good news with others, for goodness sakes, pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten them, that they too may cherish this legacy of truth. What is truth? It's the legacy of truth, the legacy of Jesus that He left for us in the cross. And Sunday, as you see this beautiful legacy in the empty tomb, for the cross and His death led to His resurrection, rejoice. And because Jesus is risen, so will you. And like His disciples, we're going to be able to join Him forever in glory. That's the truth. And it's good. Good Friday, good. Amen. Please stand. We join together in confessing our faith in the triune God using the words of the Nicene Creed beginning on page 3 at the bottom of your worship folder. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We'll continue now with our offering this afternoon. The ushers will also be distributing a register. We ask you to sign as well that we can keep in touch with you. So let's worship the Lord with our gifts.